Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series through Acts, and I am joined by two friends here, Lead Pastor Jose Avaroa.
Good morning, Taylor.
And Pastor of Spiritual Formation, Bob Moss.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Bob, it's great to have y'all. I'm excited. I feel like we're getting into the midst of Acts. We were just talking about this right before we went on, started recording, but this is one of those examples where the beauties of going verse by verse and going through, because you don't always hear about these stories that we get into and yet have a lot of great takeaways. And so, Jose, I usually like to ask you first kind of your thoughts. I know sometimes it's asking you what led you to pick this passage. In this case, we've got that part figured out. So what did God show you in the prep leading up to it? And then would love to hear y'all's thoughts on some of the takeaways.
Yeah, so many things, and didn't have enough time to cover it all. So I'm glad we're having a conversation, hoping to cover some of what wasn't covered through these passages. But this is huge. I think the first thing that I noticed is that sometimes our chapters are not placed in the right place. So this is one of those where this is a whole story. Barnabas is being compared and contrasted to Ananias and Sapphira. And really, you're looking at the legacy of two different groups of people. And I don't know about you guys, but I really hope that my legacy is one of generosity and integrity versus hypocrisy and vanity. So I chose those words so that they rhyme, so that we can remember, so that they can be in our minds and remind us of the type of life that God wants us to build. So, can't wait to dig in here.
One of the first questions that you asked, Jose, was, what legacy am I building today? And it's sometimes, I think maybe even the last few weeks, people are asking that question for the first time in a long time or first time ever. But how would y'all, Bob, I'm looking to you first. You modeled this so well, and I could go off so many different examples of this. But how would you answer that question, and how would you encourage someone to be able to ask this question? What legacy am I building today? How would you encourage someone to answer that?
Well, when I look at legacy, I look at somebody like Barnabas, and that's what I want to leave. You know, it's all about Christ in me, the hope of glory. He is all the hope that I have. He's the only one that I want to leave for my kids. I have nothing. I don't care if I leave anything materially for my children or not. If I leave them Jesus is a great supplier of everything that anybody needs. So I want to focus on being like Barnabas. And like you said, he was not just a giver. He was a gentle man. He was loving. He was caring. Paul gave up on people. He never gave up on
John Mark later on.
Yeah.
Bob, I want to call you out because you've shared openly on Sundays on this podcast part of your story and your testimony. And I'm curious, as someone who, and I resonate with a lot of your story in the sense of a doer that was goal-oriented, that was focused on accomplishing a lot of things, when you hear this question, what legacy am I building today? What about those that are listening that immediately jump to a list of to-dos or a list of accomplishments that they want to achieve? How would you speak into that? How have you seen God speak into that in your own life when it comes to the legacy that you're building?
Well, I would just say to those people, wait. Your time is coming when God will show you that you can't do anything without Him. And God will allow us to fail. And the greatest thing that can happen to anybody is to fail in their natural way of doing things. Because when I'm weakest, I'm most dependent on God. And I'm weakest when I can't rely on my own talents and my own abilities, and I have to rely on the Lord. And that's the adventure of following Jesus moment by moment. When Jose talked about planners and living moment by moment, you know, I was the first one to raise my hand moment by moment, and I want everybody to know, if you're going to hang around me, don't come in with a plan, because God's going to mess it up.
And I love how that is a testimony of what God's done in your life, because you went from planner to now living moment by moment.
Well, my problem with planning and goal, the problem with goals is, first of all, you've got obstacles that you have to overcome. I mean, that's just the nature of a goal. If a goal was easy, then you wouldn't be challenged by it. But if you're abiding in Christ, you don't have to worry about goals, because God brings to you whatever it is that He wants you to have, and He brings it without the stress and without the conditions that go with goal orientation. I was very goal-oriented. I've shared this here before. I was very structured. I was very purpose-driven in the sense of accomplishing things and doing things. But my problem with that was that I hurt a lot of people because if people didn't line up with my goals, I ignored them. Mm. And that's not healthy.
Yeah. And now you're... Goal?
My goal is to hang out with people, to be with people, and let God do whatever God wants to do. And that way, I'm reigning with Christ because I'm okay with whatever God wants to do. He's in control. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in tune with God, in that sense, trusting Him to be in control enables me to be able to flow with whatever he's doing. But if I've got my goals and I'm really wanting something done, a lot of times God can get in my way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't want God getting in my way. I want God to be my friend and ally, or, you know,
bless you along the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Similarly, I think God gets in the way of our finances. I think about just the legacy. Mm-hmm. We talk about this concept of legacy of generosity and integrity in Ananias and Sapphira. And just going back to that passage there, how do y'all think that is related as far as just the trust and dependence and really surrender, Bob, is what you're talking about as far as being surrendered to God and His will? How does that relate to generosity and particularly when it comes to living a legacy of generosity?
Yeah, this sounds extreme, but I really have found it to be true the more that I think about it, the more that I live it out. Where our money is, there our heart will follow. So money leads or exposes where our heart is. And so Barnabas here is living out generously.
Yes.
And so therefore, he's with the Lord. So money is a tool that reveals what's inside of our heart. It's a thermometer. It's a barometer. It shows us what is most important for us. So it really isn't about how much you give. It's really about the posture of the heart. Ananias and Sapphira break that because the amount doesn't matter. We don't have a dollar amount here between Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira. It's the heart posture. It's the pretension. It's saying, hey, look, I am wanting to look better than I really am. That's hypocrisy. And that's something that we need to guard against. I think the other point that really stood out to me, and this came from Randy Alcorn's Treasure Principles, is living for the line, not the dot. So living for eternity, storing up our treasures in heaven, is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where rust and moths cannot, you know, destroy. So really storing up our treasures in the best savings account, the best place. Our ROI is going to be amazing if we store up our treasures for the purposes of the kingdom versus, you know, vanity, the things that this world has to offer. And for me, I look at you, Bob, I look at men that are further along this journey in life, and I'm inspired by the way that you live. I'm inspired by the examples that I have in my life of men that have chosen to live generously, women too, and selflessly towards God. And it's interesting that, and again, this rhymes because it helps me remember, but once we expire, the question is, who will we inspire? So once our last breath, once we expire, give our last breath, and I've been thinking about this a lot, we're dealing with some loss here in the church in this season. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so inspired. I'm so inspired by the lives of these men. Mm-hmm. And I pray and hope that when I expire, I leave behind a legacy of inspiration. Yeah. Other people say, look, I want to live that way. And so if you're not living that way now, that should be a cause for you to pause and stop and consider, all right, I need to maybe move some things so that I can get there.
What would be those things that we would move? Because I was just about to ask that as far as practically someone that's like, okay, I'm understanding this principle. I want to be like a Barnabas. I want to have a legacy. A legacy can't be built overnight. It can't be just a one-off thing, just to download an app and then it's there. So how do we cultivate just a character that develops a legacy? How do you make those changes?
Yeah, there's a lot of rhythms that we can practice. So it's also not just one thing. But first of all, if you're wanting to do it, to do that, to change, I think that's the biggest thing. Your desire to repent,
that's
to
right.
turn from, you know, one way and go God's way. So His Holy Spirit will bless you, will guide you, getting a couple of people around you that you can go to and say, hey, I want to make this change. Help me make that change. I'd say that's the best second step. And then from there, there's a ton of things that we can do. Bob, what do you think?
Well, number one for me is abiding in Christ. And what that means is what Jesus told us. He is the vine. We're the branches. And branches aren't the key to the vine. The vine is the one that produces everything. And we just happen to be grafted in to the true vine, Jesus Christ. So a couple of weeks ago, we did a study on Peter going to the temple, and a man was sitting there begging, and he looks at him and says, silver and gold, I don't have anything to give you, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. Mm. And what Peter had was more powerful than anything. And in Proverbs, it talks about getting wisdom and understanding because it's more precious than silver and gold and rubies and anything that you can have materially. Having wisdom and understanding and knowledge in the Lord, knowing Jesus, and that's what abiding in Christ does. It enables you to embrace every circumstance with a knowing in your heart that God is with you and He's allowing it to happen for a purpose. And if we will be patient and wait, we will see what God does instead of us trying to figure our way out.
It's good, Bob.
Jose, you asked a question towards the end about where in our hearts do we have similar thoughts as Ananias and Sapphira? And I remember just reflecting on that, and even last night in community group talking about it. And I think, Bob, what you're addressing, this idea that abiding in Christ, that He's the only source of everything that we have, that we're the branches, He's the vine. I think I just remember relating to that as I think through my own story about how I want to be all in. I want other people to see that I'm all in for Christ. But at the same time, there's also part of me that wants to sort of hedge my bets, if you will, hedge my investment to say, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to keep a little bit of this on the back end because I don't necessarily know if this is, you know, regardless, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know if it's really going to be it. And so that was what really spoke out to me. And I think this concept of the branch is that in that silly example, you know, in that illustration, the branch, I'd be trying to find another sort of fake vine to attach myself to, which obviously is not going to fulfill the same way. But I just think that spoke to me as far as I wondered how much Ananias and Sapphira, it was also a trust issue with God and saying, okay, you want publicly want to be all in, but at the same time, if this doesn't work out, I have something to make ends meet. And I think finances is a really good disclosure,
indicator.
Jose, the way that you said, indicator of showing where our heart really is and where our trust is going to be.
Yeah, a full disclaimer, I said, hey, give through the church. It really wasn't a message about giving through the church. It was more of a message about our hearts. And so the other thing that I love that this is showing us is how serious God takes His business. Mm-hmm. So he's not playing games, and He's not allowing anybody that is playing games to play games. So we can go into, that can be a whole nother podcast as to what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Was it a heart attack? Was it divine judgment of some sort? Was it, you know, because it really is mysterious. Personally, the young men waiting outside of the door, that one gets me. I'm not sure what to think about that. But anyway, it's clear that this is a significant time in the church. And when you start anything, you want to start right. You want to make sure that there's unity. You want to make sure that everybody is focused on the mission. And this was a distraction from that mission. And God was making it very clear, to your point, Taylor, we need to be all in. And so, wow, what a conviction. I mean, this means serious business for us. We're in leadership, so we take this seriously. We have measures in place so that there's accountability to make sure that we stay focused on the main mission, glorifying the name of Jesus, edifying the body, belong, grow, reach. These are three words that help us fulfill the Great Commission. Anyway, but personally, this is something that we need to continue to think about, because in your illustration, Taylor, yeah, there's a lot of branches that we hide. There's a lot of things that we say, all right, but I'm going to put my eggs in this basket just in case, God, your way doesn't succeed. And here, God is saying, you can trust me.
Bob, we talk about legacy, and I know I've asked you this multiple times on the podcast. I can't help myself, but in understanding this idea of surrender, full surrenderance to God, is that something that has gotten easier over time? Have you noticed just even more recently, just ways that does God continue to show you eggs that are in different baskets or branches that are not connected to the vine? How in your stage that I know so many people look up to, including myself, and the legacy that you've already built, is that something you are still actively doing?
Well, there's a word that goes along with surrender, and it's abandonment. And on the Titanic, you know, that was a beautiful ship. It was the greatest ship ever built, the fanciest ship ever built, most luxurious ship. And when the Titanic began to sink, the only thing that could save the people was a simple lifeboat. And there's nothing frilling, you know, no frills on the lifeboat. It's simple. And Jesus is the lifeboat.
Yeah.
Sometimes Jesus doesn't have any of the frills that you'd want in the world, but he's safe. He's secure. And he'll save your life. And we need to abandon the world.
Wow.
The Titanic represents the world. And that's what we've got to not only surrender, but abandon.
And it sounds like you're seeing the emptiness in the world more and more over time.
Absolutely. The world, you know, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to seek him in his, that's what I want. That's all I want. Because all of this, I'm enjoying in the world. I mean, we live in a beautiful home. I mean, God has blessed us with that. We've been there for 25 years. Materially, I've got everything that I want. I don't need anything else. But I want more of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think if you're listening and you're like, maybe one day, but I don't know if I'll ever get there, to what Bob, you just said, which sometimes I have moments, you know, I think about the most graceful part of this passage, which is not focused on why God has done this to Ananias and Sapphira, because you can say, wow, you're so harsh. But the real question is, God, why haven't you done that to us? Why am I still standing here? Why am I talking about you, the Lord of Lords, the holy and just God? Who am I that I can enter into a conversation to speak on behalf or about even Jewish, in Jewish culture? You couldn't even say the name Yahweh. It was so holy. He was so set apart. You would be afraid. And therefore, the grace of this passage is because of Jesus, we can. And the more we understand the grace that he has for us and the mercies that are new for us each and every morning, the more we're able to be in awe, be in reverence and fear of the one that we get to gaze on every day.
Yeah.
And that's Amen. That's a grace. That's grace in this passage. Not what did Ananias, why did God do this to Ananias, but why didn't he do that to us? Why are we still alive? Yeah. And why are we going to spend eternity in the presence of God? Because God sent his son, and that sacrifice was sufficient.
Yeah, the grace there for sure. I'd love to ask, this may be a personal question, put you all on the spot here, but we talk about the full surrenderance, giving up all that we have and not just some. I'd love to just hear, and maybe I think it'd be encouraging for those listening, what's an area in your life that you had to wrestle with or really kind of, maybe it still is a hard thing to give up and fully surrender to Christ? I know for me, even just recognizing that God in my workplace, particularly before I worked for the church, but even still now, just understanding that I think when I was in college, remember thinking like, God doesn't know how to code. Like this is, these are coding issues. These are software issues. These are business issues. And recognizing that God is, you know, God wants every part of my life and not the compartments that I put him in. So what would be maybe some areas that y'all have seen personally, and then even just encouraging for those that are listening, that they're behind everything we're talking about, but then there's some things we're like, yeah, but my family or my marriage or work, or it could be multiple other things.
Well, one thing everybody has to recognize, and that is that everybody has an ego, which is their sinful nature. It is their natural way of trying to see things. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 lays it out. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Our ego is continually trying to get us to rationalize and justify things that we may not even realize are happening in the moment, but it doesn't take long for the peace of God to leave us, the joy of the Lord to leave us. And when we find ourselves in those situations where we don't have that peace, we find ourselves getting stressed out. Listen, if you're stressed out, there's only one thing that is causing you stress. That's your ego. Honestly, that's how simple it is. If you're stressed, if you're anxious about anything, you're not trusting God. It's that simple. You're leaning on your own understanding. And so what is the answer? The answer is trust God. Mm-hmm. So I tell people all that. What is it I tell people? Trust God and get out of his way. There you go. Yeah. That's the answer.
Yeah. Bob, thank you for that. I think for me, when I think about my family, not necessarily my immediate family, but my extended family, I want so much for them. And I have had many conversations with many people. I think this is probably one of the biggest ones. Expectations that you have on your family, things that you want your parents, your siblings, your children, your grandchildren to be doing. And it stresses you out. It's frustrating. Expectations are not being fulfilled. And I really do think that when we look at building legacy, think about what you can't control and release what you can't control. And when Philippians 4 tells us, when you worry, just give it up to God. That's trusting right. God. Give That's it up it. To God. Pray. With thanksgiving, don't miss that part.
That's right.
And allow the peace of God to flood you. So that's a continual one for me. I love my family so much. And, you know, we're good, but there are things that I want that I don't have. And so then I need to surrender those things to the Lord and believe that God's going to handle them.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking all along this episode about contrasting between the legacy of generosity and integrity, and then the legacy of hypocrisy and vanity. And I was looking further down in this passage here in Acts 5, where we see, sadly, that this legacy of hypocrisy continues to carry on in some of those that are around the early church. And so I think for those that you know, you're maybe on the front lines of having conversations with extended family or other people that may not know the Lord, hypocrisy is usually something that comes up pretty early as far as description of Christians. It's something that we will all probably carry, and we see this in the early church up till now. And so as believers, I'd love to just kind of camp out on why is it so important that we address any sort of root, any sort of seed of hypocrisy in our lives, because I do think that it's something that is an easy low-hanging fruit or easy target for someone to accuse a believer of doing.
I think the three of us will agree that encounter weekends are among the most powerful times
on the year,
and that's because we practice this.
Yeah.
No one's forced, but you are invited to be honest. You're invited to bring what was hidden, what is in the dark, into the light. And the truth of this passage is either we confess and own our stuff and say, yeah, I was hypocritical there, or we hide it and we continue to pretend. And what happens with lies? You lie once, and then you have to cover that lie, and then it multiplies, and then you're swimming in an ocean of lies. You're going to get caught at some point.
Yeah.
Unless you're really, really, really good. And if you're really, really good, that's not a good thing at all.
Yeah.
So confessing is something that we do to repent and turn back to the loving arms and graceful arms of Jesus. And unfortunately, many times that's not the road people take. And so then it gets messier when you get caught or when you trip and fall and you have to bear the consequences this side of heaven by your own mistakes. You're always forgiven and God forgives you, but there are consequences that we can, you know, not endure if we are quick to confess and live in the light. And in this passage, you can say, well, where was that? I love how Peter asked questions. He didn't confront right away. He did ask questions. We don't know how much time elapsed. We know a couple of hours between Ananias and Sapphira, but he asked them both questions. Point being, that's a great way to start is by asking yourself questions. How am I doing? Am I hiding anything? Am I pretending to be something that I'm not? And then find a trustworthy person and confess.
Yeah, we always have to examine our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about being salt and light. And he said, we need to let people see our good deeds so that our Father can be glorified. But when he talked about acts of righteousness, prayer, fasting, giving, other things that we do that God only wants us to do between us and him. If we start doing those things for show, we're in deep trouble. And so we have to distinguish between the two.
Yeah.
Is our life glorifying God? And are we doing the things that are spiritual? Are we doing them as our only audience being God?
I was just, Bob, that was so good. I'm thinking of Matthew 5:13 in that reference there. I mean, Jesus is pretty direct when he talks about, and similar just in the way that you see God being very direct with Ananias and Sapphira, there's no tolerance. And so when you lose your saltiness, the Bible says it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And so you think about what hypocrisy over time ends up becoming, what hiding things, Jose, and not disclosing like that. Jesus is very clear. God is very clear that there is nothing good that comes from that. And really, it's almost to a point of no return. So it's something he takes very serious.
And tying it back to what you said, Bob, that's the opposite of that is abiding. Because in that, he also warns us, apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
So apart from me, you will lose your saltiness. You will be trampled underfoot. But if we abide, and again, we're abiding in the one who has every right to destroy us.
Yeah.
Every right to say, you guys will never come back into right relationship with me because you are sinners. You're imperfect. I love the passage. Barnabas fails later. Peter fails later. Paul fails later. So there's no other man, person in the Bible that is able to earn their right to be back in the arms of Jesus.
It's all about grace.
Only by the grace of God that we can be in his kingdom and working for his kingdom. So let's abide.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.